think we'll go on to number 15, Snowmobile Trails. Ryan, welcome.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, District Park Supervisor Ryan Rayner, based out of Farm Island Recreation Area. Also have the pleasure of working with the statewide snowmobile program. Hope you enjoyed your tour today of Hardy Camp. You guys got to see equipment that not a lot of folks get to see, certainly with the department, let alone we get phone calls all the time from the eastern side of the state, certainly I do, about what are those big orange machines in the ditch with the lights on, Grooming. So just a cool program. I want to talk about three main things. First off, the funding mechanism that paid for all those big orange machines. Of course, the first thing about the snowmobile program is self-funded. Everything you saw up at Hardy Camp, the groomers, the equipment, all self-funded. So snowmobilers pay for everything. There's a $10 registration fee for licensing your snowmobile. When you purchase a snowmobile, new or used, that's a 3% excise tax. And then you have a gas tax. So anytime you put gas in your snowmobile, some of that money goes back into the snowmobile program based on a formula that we've had in place since the 70s, I believe. So completely self-funded. And again, I mentioned this earlier, anytime you can have a program that pays for itself and then you've never had to raise the fee or change your fee structure from all the way back to the 70s, I think it goes to show that the relationship that Game Fish and Parks has with the South Dakota Snowmobile Association, with the governor-appointed Snowmobile Advisory Council, of course, all the work that Shannon and I get involved with today and all those folks before us, it's just amazing what type of destination the Black Hills is. Shannon will talk about that more here in a little bit. And then, of course, the volunteer base that we get with the eastern side of the state, with the South Dakota Snowmobile Association, and, of course, working with the Advisory Council. So we meet with the Advisory Council four times a year. I mentioned this earlier. May and August are by far our most important meetings. May we do a recap of the current fiscal year. And then, of course, in August, we ask the council for their blessings on the FY23 or the next fiscal year budget, for that matter. Our budget, typically $1.3 million. Of course, the majority of that is out here in the Black Hills. And then we also have a grant and aid program that I oversee. That's about $310,000. That's about the majority of the rest of the money that goes into the eastern side of the state. What I oversee on the eastern side of the state is this grant and aid program. So through local snowmobile clubs who groom, sign, and maintain, this year, just under 1,000 miles of trail. That number's been as high as 1,500 miles. Unfortunately, we are starting to see that number decline. So the volunteer clubs who do groom, sign, and maintain these trail systems on the eastern side of the state can do so in a sustainable way based on the volunteer groups that they've got with these local snowmobile clubs. So I can't say enough about what those folks do. I work with 14 clubs on the eastern side of the state. That number was 15. I've been working with the program since 2008. This is the first time that we've, with a four-year gap in there, but this is the first time that we've actually dropped a snowmobile club that is participating in the grant and aid program. So it just kind of shows, further proving that it's getting tougher and tougher to volunteer, to dedicate folks' time to maintain these trails. You've got your regular 8-to-5 job. You've got your kids' sporting events that you go to that same day. And then we get a foot of snow, and the trail's got to get groomed, and they're the ones doing it. So just a dedicated group, but again, it is getting difficult to continue to get folks to buy into that that volunteerism. So one of the challenges, but again, I can't say enough about those clubs. They get reimbursed for seven categories: grooming, signing, club insurance, storage, maintenance and equipment maintenance and repairs of the equipment as well. So with that being said, that's the grant and aid program. That's what I oversee. If any further questions about the kind of the administrative side of how we handle things with the council and SDSA, I would turn things over to Shannon.
Thanks, Randy. Great report. Appreciate it. Any questions? We're good.
Commissioners, unlike the East River side, the West River side, we hire all of our groomer operators through Game Fish and Parks. So that is handled out of our, basically handled up at Hardy Camp is where we, our main station is. We run six snowcats out up there and then one out of the lead office. We do 350 miles of snowmobile trails up here. We are a destination. You know, we're top three in the nation for snowmobile trails. Very, very popular. We see people from states from as far as Wisconsin, Iowa. A lot of Canadian folks are dropping down and using our trail system. We, unfortunately, the things that we're starting to see this year is private property ownership has changed in the Black Hills. A lot of these folks now are wanting these roads, these Forest Service roads that weren't plowed before, plowed now and developed, private developments being put in. So trying to hold our snowmobile trail system is going to be a very difficult thing to do here in the future. I guess I'm glad you guys got to come out and see the machines this morning, so yeah, it was kind of neat.
Commissioner Beeser.
Commissioner Beeser, how do you decide where your trails go, and then when they do connect with the private properties, what kind of agreements do you put in place to access across private property?
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Beeser, what they do is if we have to move a snowmobile trail onto private property, my first choice is Forest Service. Game Fish and Parks, we will pay their lease or pay a lease on their property. We basically pay the property tax for a year to go over that property, and that is from December 15th to March 31st. That's how we do that. And we try to put snowmobile trails where there's snow. So
we talked a little bit on the tour about, you know, the reciprocity that's involved in other states if they've licensed snowmobiles, not having to pay additional fees over here. But what if somebody is caught out there without any type of license on a snowmobile? Do we issue warnings typically, or is it citations right off the bat, or how do we do that?
Typically, our COs now, what they're doing is they will, if they're close to an area where they can purchase a five-day temporary permit, they will send them right back and issue a warning is how it's typically handled. If they get out there and they meet them a second time, then a citation will be written. Yeah. And we have three rangers or COs that take care of our 350 miles. So it's quite extensive. If you think about it, it's, you know, basically across the whole state. And just having three HPs out there, that's pretty tough to monitor.
Secretary. I just want to say thank you to Shannon and Ryan for the excellent tour this morning and the great program you guys conduct. So your efforts don't go unnoticed. Just want to say thank you. So it was great to see the machines. It was great to see the inner workings of the overall program and the complexities and some of the challenges we face. So it was great. I'm glad we all could go up there and see it firsthand.
Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you. Thanks, Hels.